You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy. Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
Hello and welcome to Fancy a Brew Podcast. My name is Lucy and I'm joined by my pal Aaron.
Hello.
Hello. We have left it quite a while since our first episode.
Fashionably late.
Fashionably late.
Fashionably late. Keeping you all waiting.
Yeah. On your tent hooks. But we have had loads of stuff happen in that quite long space of time, haven't we, really?
Yeah.
More of which I guess we'll discuss as the episode goes on. But we're recording for like the first time properly face to face, which is very exciting.
Yes.
Because as you might remember, I am usually up in Leeds and Aaron lives fancy pants lifestyle.
Well, I wouldn't do that far.
In London. And it's gotten even fancier.
It has. I have a brand new flat. But I'll talk about that later because I feel embarrassed about that. I've got that whole northern working class embarrassment about doing well thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, totally. Same. But I will say this. It's beautiful and I love it.
Thank you.
And I might.
It does feel like an IKEA showroom though.
That's what happens though, isn't it? When you have like your first place.
Yeah.
First place that you've had to like fully furnish and stuff. Like,
yeah, and it's I've had
to make an IKEA.
Yes. So, what's been going on in your life, Lucy?
What hasn't been going on? So, I finally moved house.
I mean, that seemed to drag out for quite a while. Oh. It seemed to drag out for ages and then suddenly you moved.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think last time when we were recording, we thought that it was going to happen pretty soon.
Yep.
And then, because we were told a date by the solicitors, which turned out to be wrong.
Okay.
But we'd handed in the notice on our rented place.
Of course.
With the new date, there was essentially 2 weeks where we didn't have anywhere to live, which was scary. And we had to find, you know, storage facility to put all our stuff in and a place to live. Uh-huh. So, I don't think I've actually told you this, but the place that we ended up living in was person's spare room that I found on Facebook. There's like a Facebook group called Crew Rooms, and we went to have a look at the person's house, this area of Leeds, not far from IKEA actually, and I was like, oh, she's so why do I know her face, she's so familiar. So I googled her name and she was only on Big Brother.
Really? Which one?
It's like, are we allowed to her name is Lydia. And she was married to Lisa Scott Lee from Steps' brother.
Oh, yes. Lisa Scott Lee's brother.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in Celebrity Big Brother?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was...
So you lived there for a fortnight.
So I lived there
living the high life.
Yeah. I mean...
In Birstall.
Jack, my husband, were just like, I don't really know. I can't say to her, oh, so I've heard about your past life. She's like choreographer now and... That's very much, you know, history.
I can imagine lots of yoga if she's a choreographer.
Oh, she's like, she was always in like, you know, athleisure, yoga pants and all that kind of stuff.
But, whereas I rock the sweatpants chic. I mean, if we were going out for dinner, early dinner,
yes,
breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea, whatever we're calling it.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
If we weren't going out for an early afternoon meal after this, I would literally be... My friend came over for dinner last night and I was in my slacks.
You have to be, though. Come
I made vegan curry. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've got some in the fridge, you can test it.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Excellent. Sorry. Excellent.
So, yeah, you lived there, you moved house.
Yeah, so we moved in. And the day we got the keys, the vendors said, oh, you know, we've had... like my parents round to help us clean up and get it all like ship shape for you both. And it's like, great. Because you know when you're moving out of like a rented place, you scrub it from top to bottom because you want that
you
deposit.
You want the
back.
Deposit.
You want all of that.
Which
deposit
is why
back.
I've taken the day off when I have to hand my keys into my last one.
Exactly.
Because I still technically live there for the next month.
Yeah. You're just like, right, I'm cleaning it, I'm bleaching it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be like it was never here. It's going to be like some sort of crime scene cleanup. That's how clean it's going to be.
Yeah, no fingerprints anywhere.
Nothing, right? When we moved out of our old house, we had me and Jack, his mum and dad, clean the entire place from top to bottom, right? They, like, hoovered. It was an absolute shit hole.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the...
And you were buying this from
them? We were buying it. Which, I guess now, in hindsight, if you're buying it, once you've handed those keys over... what can you do about it? Like,
yeah.
Nothing. So they were just like excited to go and get their brand new keys for their brand new build. You know, like.
Oh, really? They had a brand new build. Yeah. A bit like
this one. A bit like mine.
Beautiful apartment.
Oh, so nice, mate. Honestly, it's just light and airy. It's got lovely mod cons, and you're like the first person to live here.
Yes, I am. Yes, I become because I'm slightly obsessive compulsive anyway about certain things. Having the net things meter on the wall, which I'm not sure you've seen, that tells me how much usage I've had of the electric,
and
tells me how much I've spent on the wall over there by the kitchen. I'm obsessed with it. Like, right, that switch needs to go off. This needs to go off.
My gosh.
The radiator has never been on since I've been here.
No, but it's boiling here today.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and because I'm on the sixth floor, all the heat rises, which is not ideal. So what else has been going anyway? This is about Lucy.
Yes, this is my time.
All about you.
So we realised the kitchen they'd just left it like disgusting. And because I like to bake and stuff.
You are a master baker.
I am a master baker. And I like food. That was a bit of a slow burn, wasn't it?
Speaking of which, slow burn, excellent podcast. Carry on.
Oh, I've heard good things, actually. Yes. I haven't listened to it yet. But I couldn't. No amount of cleaning was going to get it nice. And the floor was like wonky, sort of walk up to go down. All these things that you just don't notice when you're like looking to buy it.
Yeah, my friend used to be an estate agent. She was like, always check, always flush the toilet. She was like, because you'd be surprised how many people do not have the toilet plumbed in properly. She was like, always check the toilet and make sure the taps run.
Absolute comedy of errors when we've just moved in into the bathroom.
Are you living in the money pit? There's an old reference for
you. Ah, old school. So we have now got a new kitchen fitted.
It's beautiful.
Which is beautiful. It's a bit like mine. Bit like yours. Very similar cupboards.
Yeah.
And oven, actually. And tiles. Just in different colours. It's really nice.
Yes.
I love it. I just love it so much.
I suppose it's different when you own it as well. See, I don't own this. It's on a rented scheme that's rent control. But I do have the option to buy it at some point. So, but the good thing about it, which is very unusual in London, this is on a 3-year tenancy.
That's
and
cool.
I can stay here for up to 10 years if I want.
Right, without having dependent to on it.
If I don't buy it within 10 years, I have to move out and then they have to sell it on the open market.
Right. You've got 10 years to make a decision. And it's in a good part of town and DLR is just like around the corner and, you know.
It's proper easy like, proper nice.
It's really, really nice.
So you and I have, we have a few things in common.
Yes.
Which is probably why we get on.
So, I think it's what brought us together.
Yeah, I think we get on well because of those things, but we also are so different that helps as well, because there's nothing worse than you end up hating people who are just like you, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's why it works.
Come on, have an opinion.
Yeah. And those people who you really hate at work are generally the people who are exactly like you, but you can't necessarily see it.
100%.
Not only do you and I work far too much, too many hours, I'm trying to cut mine back from 60 hours a week to 50 at the moment. We also share quite challenging home life situations growing up as well.
That's a very political way of putting it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I read a book, gosh, maybe 9 months ago now, maybe.
Was that that
one? It was a while ago, yeah. And basically it was about gaslighting and manipulation and all the rest of it, but by your mother.
Yeah.
Another, your situation is different to mine, and it's not necessarily your mother. I thought you'd appreciate that book because I had sent it to my sister and she was like, oh my God, this book is literally amazing.
Yeah.
It's changed my life. I now know how to deal with this awkward situation that I found myself in. And then I was like, well, I know you have some challenges that are quite similar. And some aspects of the book are really quite similar and some of them are not.
Yeah.
But I thought you'd appreciate aspects of it.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. So the book is called An Abbreviated Life.
Absolutely, by Ariel Lev.
She is brilliant. She has been through an unbelievable amount of torment and trauma and stress and abuse and just this crazy life. And while there are, you know, there are some very obvious things that aren't similar for either of us.
Yes.
In that she has lived a for me anyway, lived a very privileged upbringing in New York. And
yes.
That was just not what life was like in Middlesbrough in the 90s.
No, or in Keighley in the 90s.
But there were some things in it that I just thought, oh my God, that's like that same experience, that feeling has happened, will happen in the future to me. But the way that she explains her side of it and herself, it's just unbelievable, actually. There's a point where I think I was getting towards the end and I was texting you, like, pictures of the book. And I was like...
with little highlights.
Highlighting, like, little sections.
It's funny, my sister did exactly the same thing. She's like, oh my God, this is my life.
Yeah. One of the stark things, though... was when, I can't remember who it is now, maybe a therapist or someone who explains to her what gaslighting is.
Yeah.
And how that's something that she's, like, has happened to her and is going through with her relationship with her mum.
So, to explain what gaslighting is, for those who are listening and might not necessarily know, it was what the Nazis did in the Second World War to Jewish people. They'd blame them for something that they had done, to the point where they would make everybody else around them believe that that thing was true, that actually wasn't true about that person. And that's... the reason I read the book is because I read an article on The Guardian that Ariel Levy had written about Donald Trump and how he was basically gaslighting, saying, the thing that you heard me say, I didn't say, you heard it wrong. I didn't say it, you're making it up. And then it makes people second-guess themselves. And that's the main bit for me was... the gaslighting, that's why I read the book in like 4 or 5 days. I just quickly went through it. And it was the, I know I've experienced this situation and you're making out like I haven't. And somehow you're aggrieved that the bad thing that you did to me, I somehow deserve everybody else thinking that I'm the bad person because of
that
your terrible behaviour. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so last night I went to see my brother in a musical, and recently my brother has been having some issues with the person at school.
Okay.
Who also is into drama and music like my brother. And me and my husband went to see him, and my mum and my nan went to see him. And my mum and nan were sat separately, they'd put their tickets separately. And at the interval, my mum made a beeline to me and said, I can't believe her. We sat down and the first thing she said was, where is it? Like this. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, that person Jack's been having trouble with at school, wanting to know if she's here and she's not part of this drama club or whatever. And I was like, oh, just ignore her.
Yeah.
It's Jack's night. Let's just enjoy seeing him. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I'm just going to pop to the loo, back in a minute. My nana came up to me and said, I can't believe you, Mum. I only asked if this girl was in this thing. You know, like it was no... She didn't say it nastily. She didn't say it with any kind of hint of aggression or anger or frustration. And I was just like, oh, I can't.
And that's
I can't even have this.
And that's the weird thing is that in her head, she was being protective of your brother.
But the way that she expressed it was like, oh, is this girl here? You know, like in this sweet little old lady voice.
Which we know is not the case.
No.
Because my mum does exactly the same thing.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it? But then I was like, literally, only when we were just having this conversation, I was like, oh my God. Like, that's what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, honestly, my mind is blown.
You need to give your mum the book as well, by the
time. I feel like I do. Yeah. It all stems, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that's the thing, it's kind of this northern matriarch that, you know, that I think because for, I mean, I don't know how old your nan is, but I'm assuming your mum and my mum are probably around about the same age, mid-50s.
My nan is in her early 70s and my mum is early 50s.
Yeah, so my parents are mid-late 50s, so around about the same age. And I think all that certainty that they had... So my grandparents didn't have anything, and they worked hard for what they got. Mm. And then it just seems like the generation above mine, my parents' generation, spent all the money, got up all the debt, yeah. got rid of the free education, you know, and now he's blaming my generation for that.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
doesn't seem quite fair. But, I mean, the whole gaslighting thing. So I tend not to talk about this, but I need to say it so that I know that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year and a half ago, and this is how long this has been going on, it was your wedding.
Yes.
And I came up to Leeds for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I'd had a really, really busy month, and I'd had a lot of things that I needed to pay for. So, you know, I'd offer to give you a certain amount of money. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to give you that amount of money, but I gave you for your wedding.
I mean, yeah.
But this is in correlation. I'm saying this yes. deliberately because it's going to relate to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What you missed there was Lucy was raising her hand to say, it's okay, fine, don't worry.
Yeah. I mean, it was never like...
Yeah. Anything is better than nothing.
Yeah, and I wasn't inviting you to my wedding so that you would give me a present.
Obviously. However, my mum doesn't think like that. So... I intended, as I always do, I never forget birthdays of my immediate family. So I never forget my sister, I never forget my brother, I never forget my parents' birthdays. I know when they are, I know when they were born, you know, which is more can be said than for other members of my family, but that's a different issue. So I messaged her 2 days before her birthday. I'd already sent a card and had it printed and written online and sent, so it was there a day before her birthday. And then messaged her and said, look, I can't give you... It was £50 that I'd usually give her. Sorry, I can't give you £50 this time. It's been a really, really busy month. I can't afford it. I've sent you £35 instead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry. Now, bearing in mind, I'm giving you a gift. So what she did was she then replied to me. And we'll use the air quotes, accidentally, slagging me off to who she thought was either my sister or my father, whomever, saying, I can afford to go out to gay pride, and you know, gay pride, my friend and I were drinking cans of gin and tonic because I didn't have any money.
Yeah,
we were drinking, you know, so your perception of what you see on my Facebook isn't what the real world is.
That in itself is a totally different
absolutely.
Conversation anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. So she sent this message back, she messaged me back and she said, you can afford to do this, you can afford to do that, I can't afford to send it to his mum. Oh, he's so ungrateful and he's so inappropriate, blah, 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 blah. So my immediate reaction was to send her a message saying, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I shake my head anymore at that exchange, I think it'll just wobble off.
Yeah. Now,
it's insane.
A lot of people are like, ooh, that's your mother, that's so inappropriate.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. But I then messaged her back and said, do you know what? Because this, what you have to understand, this isn't a one-off thing, okay? Yeah. This is years of this happening over and over again, and me being gaslit to be the bad person. Every Christmas I'd go back, but she'd always make some kind of drama to make everybody else turn against me somehow, which I don't appreciate. So I messaged her back and said, look, you need to see some medical professional because it's not normal the way that you think. Sorry, and I don't appreciate always being the villain in your story of my life,
yeah.
which I thought was quite a clever thing to say. So until you get yourself sorted out, I don't want to have a relationship with you. So she just messaged back, done. Right.
Right. Mature.
Well, it carries on. Then she deleted me from Facebook. And then after she deleted me from Facebook, my dad phoned me about a week later and said, you need to apologise to your mother. I said, no, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
No, I absolutely don't. Yes, you do. You swore her. It's like, yeah, but you're ignoring the circumstances that led up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If she apologised to me, I'd be like, look, I'm sorry. I was out of order. I shouldn't have sworn at you, but you were bang out of order. You were absolutely out of order. Instead of apologising, a year and a half later, she said, I deleted her from Facebook, which I don't do petty shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I didn't send her the money. I didn't even bother sending her in a card. I kept hearing kind of second hand about she'd said that I'd not sent her the money and all the rest of it. And you know when you're like, I'm sure. So this is gaslighting. I'm sure I sent the money.
It makes you doubt.
Absolutely sure I sent the money. To the point where I'd second guess myself enough to look on my bank account from 2 years ago.
Mm.
And sure enough, the money went out to her in her account. But I never received it.
You need to take that to your bank, love.
Yeah.
That's not.
But she clearly did. And like the year before, because her story changed. Initially, she said she had received it, and then she said she hadn't. So like a year before that, I was at home for Christmas, and I said, look, I was working 14, 15-hour days running a radio station, all the rest of it. And I said, look, I'm really tired. I'd just like to relax a bit this Christmas, if that's okay. She always gives me things to do, and we always have to go and see family, and, you know, and which is fine.
And that's
but I'd like just a break. It's supposed to be break at Christmas.
Well, that's it. I mean, I know from when we lived here, any time that you're back at home, it's never a holiday.
No.
It's always like, oh, you want to go and see Auntie Santa? Oh, they'd love to see you. Oh, you've got to go and do the rounds to, like, visit your, you know, your nana and granddad and your auntie and whatever. And, and you're like, well, I'd just like to sit down for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Just come to, like, relax and have some, you know, be spoiled by your family a bit and, like, have your mum make you a cup of tea and things like that.
Yeah, that doesn't, that never happens to me. I'm sorry, that never happens. So when I got there that Christmas, I cooked dinner for everybody my first night. The morning after, I made breakfast for everybody. And then they were packing because they were moving house. So I helped them pack. And after about 8 or 9 hours of packing, I was like, look, I'm going to stop now. And my dad's getting old now. He's nearly 60. And he's got a hip replacement. He's got diabetes. And, you know, just those general things that you get as you get older. So I came down and I said, look, Dad. And I'd cooked dinner as well that day, as well as doing all this. I cooked dinner that day and I said, look, Dad. And what's happened is my mum had been goading for a fight because in her head, I was going to do nothing that week. She'd made her mind up that I was just going to be lazy and I wasn't going to do anything. I was going to be selfish because I'd said, look, I need to relax a little bit. But I hadn't acted like that. Mm. So she then had to create a situation whereby I was acting like that. So I was up in my room and after I said, Dad, you need to relax, all I heard was this. Who does he think he is through the floorboards? Honestly, come in here, tell him. So I went downstairs. I was like, is everything okay? I was like, are you all right? She's like, who the hell do you think you are? Oh, coming here and telling your dad that he needs to stop now. I was like, well, he doesn't need to stop. He's nearly 6 day. It's 7 o'clock at night. We've been doing this since like 9 o'clock this morning. I was like, I don't feel that's unreasonable. Well, you said to him that he should stop doing it now because you were implying that I was forcing him to do it.
That doesn't even make sense.
And I was like, what? And then she stopped talking to me. She didn't talk to me for 6 months after that. But that story's then, Aaron's so ungrateful and he's so rude and I'm the parent. And do you know what I mean? It's just all this. If only you could see all the bits. I just wish somebody would say, look, enough.
Mm.
Go and speak to somebody and have a conversation. Whatever, deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and speak to somebody about it because you're only alienating everybody else around you. And I don't know whether that's...
It must have an issue, like an impact on her relationship with your dad and, you know, your brother and sister and anyone else that, you know, interacts.
So it's quite a... Yeah. It's a very serious topic of conversation.
It's very serious. But I think, actually, it's important to talk about it because, one, you can get it off your chest.
Yeah.
Which is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
But then also, like, you never know who else is going through something similar.
Absolutely.
And you never know... Like, we've had these conversations in the past about family and why people act the way that they do and what, you know, and I've been going to therapy for about a year and a half, I think. And as a result of that, and doing things like reading that book and taking time for myself and just thinking about things a little bit more, I, like you, have been able to get a bit of clarity on situations and understand you might treat me like this but I see it like this because I can understand why you're being manipulative or I can understand why you're, you know, something has happened to you. It's not about the fact that I only sent you 35 quid. It's not about that. It's about
you feeling that I don't love you as much because I've not given you I've given you less than I've given other people. But have that conversation.
Exactly.
You're a grown person. Have that conversation because that's not appropriate. You know, and I can sit here and moan about all my mummy issues. I'm not saying my parents are terrible. They're not.
For me, like my mum's been ill for the majority of my life. I don't remember a time when she hasn't been ill. And there's a part of that that means that she has had to be like the child.
Yeah.
And so, like, my grandparents don't really know how to treat her as anything other than that.
And that's the point I was going to get on to.
Yeah.
Is, do you think that we've assumed roles in families and we play up to those, and if we're not those roles that have been made out for us, then those situations are made sometimes? Like, I'm supposed to be the arrogant one who comes up and you know, upsets everybody and is ungrateful.
You're a big fancy city slicker.
Yeah. And my sister's the oversensitive one who gets upset about everything. Yeah. And my brother's the one who flies off the handle. And unless we fall into these stereotypes, they can't deal with it, because that's what they have made us out to be. And that it's really... I mean, family dynamics are crazy, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
My sister is getting married next year. I've said to her, look, since you read the book, she's been a lot more assertive. I'm like, you need to not be pushed around into doing things that you don't want to do. If you don't want to do it, you'd say, look, I respect your opinion. I appreciate your opinion. I know you want me to have a nice day, but it's my wedding and I don't want to do that.
I feel like we've got some stuff out there now.
I feel like, yeah, and I'm sure we're not the only ones, and I'm, you know, we're either going to come across as whining about our mummy issues or grammar issues or whatever, but... It's just nice to know if you are having that difficult situation, you're not the only person out there. Although it can feel a bit isolating sometimes when you're in that situation.
I think so. But it's always good to talk.
I think we should just scoot over this and not make a big point of it. Fallen off the vegan wagon and I've put on about 2 stone.
Oh, no! So, it's a really bad idea for me to bring you brownies then.
They look like vegan brownies, as do those vanilla cream-filled donuts that I bought earlier as well. So, yeah. Now, I'm conscious we're running wildly out of time.
Oh, as usual. Yeah.
As always. And we tend to digress and go off on one, as it were. But I thought it'd be nice for us to just quickly kind of reflect on something that we've learned this time.
Well,
since
this
the last
time.
Pod.
Not this month, just this time.
This time,
it's been about 5 months or whatever.
It's been May, June, July, August, and October. It's been 6 months.
6 months. 6 months. Shit, we are bad at this.
We'll say how many we're going to have in a series.
No, that's true.
We want to keep people waiting, like my dad wrote a porno, which the new series is actually quite funny. So what have you learned?
Okay. Well, when we were originally going to record this, I said, I have learned... that I say yes too much, and stop it. But we're also going to talk a little bit about working too much and making time for ourselves.
Yes.
So, about a week or two ago, I had like a moment of clarity.
I like those.
Yeah. I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'd sort of been thinking about it for a while, but then something just snapped and I was like, I'm doing this. So, I've been working for a company for about a year.
Okay.
They make, they do a lot of events and things like that for corporate businesses. And I work in the film team, so we make films for events, or we make other sort of, other films that signpost, you know, like if a company's got a new pension scheme, for example. We will do like an explainer video.
All right.
Like, this is how it will work, and these are the benefits that you will get. Not the most creative and exciting.
No, but still creative nonetheless.
Yes, exactly. But very different to, like, the world that I'd come from.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And I kind of missed that a little bit.
Okay.
And I made a decision to hand my notes in and to go back freelance.
See...
Dun, dun, dun!
See, knowing how you... To say you're somebody who doesn't deal with change that well, you've had a lot of change in the last 2 years of your life.
Like the queen of change.
Yeah.
So...
And you don't make decisions lightly either, I've noticed.
No, I've taken a lot of time to think about it.
Yeah.
In the summer, I was working with the Radio Academy to do some stuff for them.
Yes.
My friend Polly runs her own independent production company.
Nice.
And had asked me to help with like some cost stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that could turn into more. And I'm just trying to like build myself up a little bit of a hit list. You know? So I had my notes in. But I'm there for a little while, I don't finish till the middle of March.
Okay, so you've got enough time to build up your...
Exactly. And January to March is a rubbish time for freelancing unless you've got a decent contract.
Okay.
So it works for me, and that's the busiest time
for
us at work. So I'm sort of showing a bit of willing, and you never know, I might go back there freelancing, I might do, you know, like...
Nice.
I feel like...
You might spend more time in London.
I might spend more time here.
We're renting out your house in Leeds. Both of you moving back to London. Okay. Very selfish of me. Oh, that's good. I'm really pleased for you.
So I feel really good about it. And like you say, it's something I'd thought about for a while. And then I was like, why am I just sitting on this thought, like, I've got to do something about it, because it had been since the summer.
Just do it.
Yeah.
You were like, done it.
At the worst, you know, if something happens and I don't get any work, then I find another job.
Yeah.
You know? And I also keep thinking about, do I want to still work in the same industry? Do I want to try and branch out a bit? Do I want to try something new? And this could give me that opportunity. So, yeah, I feel quite excited.
Well done.
A bit scared. Thank you.
It's a little pat on the back.
Yeah.
It's good to be scared, though.
I think shows so. You care. Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. So what's your, what have you learnt?
So mine is, I was watching a YouTube video the other day about enlargement of the European Union, randomly, because I'm slightly obsessed with Europe, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I saw that the Serbian Prime Minister, this is how random this is.
Okay.
So obviously they still got the issues with Kosovo, but Serbia really want to join the European Union.
Mm.
The Serbian Prime Minister, Ana Brnabic,
Brnabic?
Yeah, B-R-N-A-B-I-C.
Sure.
Ana Brnabic. She studied in Hull.
No way!
University of Hull. And she is openly gay.
Oh, amazing.
So I was like, you know when you think... I suppose in your arrogant UK way, you think that we're like the most liberal, I mean, aside from the last 2 years, we're a very liberal country.
Mm.
But you don't think that any other country is as liberal. And I was quite surprised that Serbia has gone from this genocidal place 20 years ago to
an
openly gay prime minister who studied at the University of Hull. So that was the thing that I learned this month.
Exciting.
Am I right?
That's really cool, isn't it? Like you say, you don't even really think about stuff like that.
No.
You wouldn't, you know, and then when it becomes part of, like, you know, your world, you're like, shit, it just, like, broadens your horizons. Mm.
So I think I might have a trip to Serbia at some point.
Yeah.
Now, obviously we're at the end of the pod. I feel next time, so I'm taking Lucy out after this pod to a Nepalese restaurant
in Woolwich. I'm so excited.
I have taken so many people there that I should have shares in that place. And everybody I take them there always say the same thing. I'm going to remind you of this the next time I record a pod. The shredded potatoes.
Okay. You talk
to
about
to die
these.
For.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm genuinely... Every time that we have met up, it's been, let's go to this place.
Yes.
Are we not saying the name because you don't want it to get overrun by, you don't want it to get popular?
Well, no, it's fine. It's called Kailash Momo, and Momo is Nepalese dumplings. Friend of the pod, Anna Jennifer.
I thought you were going to say, friend of the pod, Momos.
No, Anna, well, I mean, they can sponsor the pod if they want, with free Momos. Anna, who you and I used to do radio with, East London Radio, when I set that up, lives in Woolwich, and she suggested this place, and I was like, no. And then I went and I was like, oh, Momo, where has this been all my life? And when everybody says, what's Momo like?
Mm.
It's Nepal, so it's in between India and China. So you have tale, but you have dumplings.
Oh my gosh.
So
I love dumplings.
I'm hoping when we go there today, you'll just let me order for you.
Yeah.
And then you'll see all this food. It'll be mostly the Asian food, not the Indian food.
Yeah.
And then we can report back on the next pod.
I'm so excited.
Or a little Leeds kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have an Instagram account that is Little Leeds Kitchen, which is like my little foodie, blogging, all kinds of stuff. I posted today about a podcast that I'm listening to, which is really cool, called Out of the Blocks. I would recommend it.
Okay. I've just finished listening to... Slow Burn, the new series.
I think so too. God, so much to do. But should we go and eat?
Yes, let's. And mine's at Aaron Trains.
And
Instagram.
I am at Lucy Duffield on Twitter, at Little Leeds Kitchen on Instagram. And you can email us fancyabrewpod@gmail.com.
Yes, and we'll have to brush off the cobwebs from that password and figure out how to unlock it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you. Obviously, you can catch us. If you have a Google Home, you can say, okay, Google, play Fancy a Brew podcast.
All right, here's where you got to in Fancy a Brew 1, episode 1.
You can listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, however you receive your pod, iTunes, whatever.
Yep.
You can listen to this pod, and you can just listen to it while you're wandering around the house The flat naked. The other flats are very close, so I'm a bit worried that I'm going to get to it at some point. So, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.